Do we? Huh? Sure. Amen. Excuse me. All right. So patience. Can you see this?
No, it's a saying.
What, it's a saying?
Yes.
I thought I just came up with that myself. I thought I was just about to say patience. Thank you. I look mighty young. All right, so I could imagine, this is what I was going to say, is I could imagine some of you might have heard this phrase. I'm pretty good, right? So who's heard of it? I know you have. Patience is a virtue. Right? Everybody, right? Yeah. Okay, so what do you think, or what do you feel that means? What does that mean to you? It's good to have patience. All right? No matter what you go through. Right, anybody else have anything different or think spot on? Dead nuts? I guess that's it, right? And it's right. It's good to have patience. You know, being able to have patience and a good behavior, no matter what you're going through, is a high moral standard. So what would be a virtue would be, is that it's meaning like a high moral standard. You know, when we talked about standards, that's something you judge by. So that's something that your example of what to do or what to be like. So that's what virtue, and then patience definitely is a virtue. So let's turn to 1 Timothy. It's near the back of the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. Who's there? Are you there? All right. So Paul lists patience as something we should pursue, right? That we definitely should pursue. That's something we strive for, something that we're going after. It is one of many verses. That's just one of many passages or verses that says similar things. Similar things that we should strive for patience. So there is no doubt, there's no dispute that Christians should be patient, right? Exactly right. They should be patient. Now, when I was a kid, I loved putting models together. Now, I don't know if people even do that nowadays. Or, you know, nowadays you have drones with, you know, cameras, and they're hooked up to your phones and you can control them and all this. But in my day, you had little plastic pieces and you glued them together, and then all of a sudden you have a tank. It didn't move, you just sat there, but it was kind of like a puzzle with instructions, right? Has anybody ever done one of those things, right? So that's what I like to do. And then I saw, when I was a kid, I saw these amazing, elaborate sets. They'd have like this big old board and have like a whole battlefield, and everything looked so real. It almost looked like a 3D picture of life. And I was like, oh man, my next one, I'm just going to just rock it out. This is what it's going to look like. It's going to be awesome. And I'd start and I'd get painting. And no matter what I did, I had to finish it as quick as I could. I couldn't. I had to do it in a day. I was like, oh no, I need to do this. You know, my army men, they, you know, the face, it was like part green. You could still see the green of the plastic through it, and it just was all blobby, and their belts were brown, so was their jackets and stuff. It was kind of horrible, but I wanted to finish it so bad. I was kind of pushing my way through it. Now, if I could have been more patient and did a better job, would that have made me a more virtue or a more moral kid than I was? Okay, I need an answer. It's a lot of dead time. No, it wouldn't have made me a more moral kid. Does anybody disagree with Brandon? Does anybody have an opinion? Can people speak? Please. No. All right, well, you know, it may have helped. I figure no is the correct answer because it may have helped, you know, but waiting without complaining doesn't automatically mean a high moral standard, right? So a virtue, if it's a high moral standard, there needs to be something a little bit more. Needs to be, why is it not easy to not complain about it? Being patient when nothing's coming against you, you know, that's pretty easy, isn't it? It's kind of easy to do. So in order to be a virtue, there needs to be a little bit of a challenge. It needs to be a little bit of a challenge of why one is lacking complaining about their life. Because how a person acts about an uncomfortable situation shows true biblical patience. Some consider patience to be passive. You know, passive waiting or a gentle tolerance. Let's turn to Hebrews. It's going to be to the right. Hebrews 12. Verse 1. Tori, can you read that? Can you grab a mic and read that? 12:1. All right, I'm not there yet, but I will be there in 1 second. Why? Because we're being recorded, and we've listened to recordings, and there's a lot of silence. And it sounds like I just pause really long. So I kind of do. But you need to be patient with me. Nice. All right. So 12:1.
Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us.
Okay, so some translations will say perseverance, some will say endurance, and some will say what? Patience, right? Some will say patience. So does one run a race being passively waiting for slow pokes? Sure. are gently tolerating cheaters? No. So when you run the race, what are you trying to do? You're trying to win, right? So, and that's how we're to do it. So a Christian running a race patiently is what the patiently is going through the difficulties, you know, the tiredness, or maybe it's throwing a javelin. You know, there's a difficulties. You have to be patient with it. Maybe you only have one chance, but maybe you have a couple chances and you have to be patient with it. Not letting things distract us, being patient with us with that, not letting things distract us, in keeping our mind focused on the goal, right? Enduring that trial, you know, in keeping us strong, waiting for the finish line, because we have to finish strong, right? Because we want to finish strong. So we have to be patient to do all these things. In Galatians, it's to the left. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Chapter 5, 22 and 23, at your leisure, Brandon.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law.
So the fruit of the Spirit. So what is he talking about when he says fruit of the Spirit? The big tree, what's the spirit tree or what? Yes. What does it mean? What's the fruit he's talking about? The characteristics, the what? Well doing, yeah. It's the results of his presence in our life. So his being who? God, right? Right, so the fruit, so a tree, a good tree produces good fruit, right? We've all heard this, that a bad tree produces bad fruit. So God produces good fruit, right? So if we're producing fruit in his spirit, so it's good fruit. So this is the results of God being in our lives. So that's what he's talking about. So the fruit of the Spirit is, you know, it says love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, right? So that's the fruit of the Spirit. Now, what do you think? Do you think patience is in there? Long-suffering, right? Now, that's kind of a trick question, because patience, really, if we think about patience, it's a combination of everything. Because you need everything to have true biblical patience. Right? You need to have self-control. You need to have love. And you have to have joy. Definitely have to have joy. Right? And gentleness. And faithfulness, you need to be faithful to be patient in goodness. So it's kind of a combination of all of the fruits of the Spirit. You know, there are going to be times, right? We're human. There's going to be times that things aren't going your way and you want them to go exactly the way you want them. Right? Right? Yeah, I'm sure you've been there. And then, and do you want it, like, next week, or do you want it now? You know, I mean, most of you will set up your phones to update during the night, because you don't want to deal with that during the day, right? right? Or right. But I mean, who's going to have the patience to just sit there and that's good. That's good. It's good to have patience. So we start lacking those virtuous fruits from time to time. Some of us aren't as good as others, right? Now, the other night, and when I say the other night, it was actually Saturday night. Last Saturday night, I was using a cordless drill, right? And I was putting a screw into the wall, right? And it was a little bit crooked. I could feel it a little slip. I was like, ah. I didn't really have a replacement on hand. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to power this through. My will is to power it through. It slipped and then caught my finger between the wall. That explains it, right? Now, it had a Phillips bit on it. Now, as you all know, Phillips bit are the star-like ones. They're not like super sharp. It's not like a knife. It doesn't cut skin, but apply enough pressure and speed, which I was doing both, it does very well. It goes right in. I don't know if you guys know this, but in my experience, that there's kind of like shades of blood. Right, you know, if it's a barely little cut, it's just a little bit pinkish red, but you go, the deeper you go, the darker you get. So it was really dark. You know, the fat was just kind of, it wasn't cut, it was kind of just chewed up. It was nice. You got cut on. So because my will was to just press harder, was to power through, because I didn't have any, what's the word? Patience. Just to take time and get the right screw for the right job, I got hurt. Now, obviously, I can't blame God because he did give me warnings. Like I said, I knew it was a little bit crooked. I could feel it. I'm in construction. I should know better. But the flesh wants what the flesh wants, right? So my desire was to do it and just get done, but it ended up in pain. Now we're going to look at the story of Joseph. The story of Joseph starts in Genesis chapter 37. Yeah, it's kind of almost like the first book, huh? It starts in chapter 37 and goes all the way through to 50. So who wants to read? No, we're not going to read. We don't have the time. But I'm going to try to summarize the parts of the story I want to tell you. But I really suggest that it is an awesome story that you guys read that. You take the time, have a little patience, read that. I know you probably know it, but refresh your memories and read that story. So we're going to start with who Joseph was. So Joseph had 11 brothers, right? He had 11 brothers, but he was daddy's little favorite, right? And everybody knew it. He even had a special coat, right? A coat of many colors, right? So he had that. And then to top it off, he had this dream. Had this dream that what? That Right. All of his brothers would bow down to him. So I don't know about people with siblings, right? This would not make my brother happy, and it definitely didn't make his brothers happy. Yeah, they did go to the extreme. So the extreme part about that, what Brandon was talking about, is because Joseph's brothers plotted to kill him. They liked it that much. You know, they were very jealous, and they didn't like who he was, and they didn't feel like they were inferior, although they were, but they didn't feel like it, right? Now, things happen. They didn't end up killing him, but they ended up selling him, right? Selling him as a slave. And then it ended up, he got sold again, but this time it was to an officer in the Egyptian nation, right? God allowed him to have favor for them, but then he was falsely accused of raping that gentleman's wife and then got thrown in prison. So he's in prison. Everything looks dire. Then, because God gave him the ability or gave him translations of dreams, he found favor of Pharaoh. And we all know who Pharaoh is, right? He's like the ruler of Egypt. So somebody very high, right? So he found favor with him, and then he went up through the ranks. And then he became in charge of the Egyptians' warehouses, you know, all their food. So anybody who wanted food had to go through him, right? All the foreigners who wanted to buy food from the Egypt, they had to go through Joseph to do it. So meanwhile, this is what's happening to Joseph. Meanwhile, back at home, there's a famine going on, right? And what's a famine? Lack of food, right? So they don't have any food back at home. So his brothers come looking for food, and they come straight to whom? Straight to Joseph, right? And then his brothers, trying to get food, they ended up bowing down to him, which they did not want to do in the first place, right? All right. So Joseph's brothers lacked patience with Joseph, didn't they? They didn't have that love. They didn't have patience with him. You know, first jealousy, they wanted to kill him. They didn't want to be second to him. They forced their will and caused pain and hurt in their lives. Because if you think about it, they ended up telling their dad he was dead. That's why his dad and his mom didn't search for him. Do you think they had a heartache about that? About their favorite son dying? Yes, they would have. You know, and then their families, they had hardship because of the famine, right? They caused, because of their patience, they caused pain and suffering. And it was all for naught. Because like I said, they didn't want to bow down to Joseph, but they ended up doing it anyways. It all came around. So that's the patience about the brothers. Now Joseph, on the other hand, he showed great patience. He was always patient with the Lord's timing. You know, a lot of us might get tripped up. You know, brothers kind of betraying us, right? Trying to kill us, selling us, being a slave, right? Getting thrown in prison. But he was always faithful and patient to the Lord. You know, he endured a lot. You know, he had a lot of hard times. But God allowed him to be successful because of that, because of him being faithful and patient. You know, he actually put him in this position that he could save his entire family by giving him food because of the famine. So it worked out, right? Hard times, but it worked out. In Psalms, let's turn to Psalms. I don't know if you turn to Genesis, it's to the right. If you didn't, it's to the left. Psalms chapter 46. I passed it. 46. Verse 10. 46, verse 10. Katie?
Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
You know, we need to know that God is great. You know, and God has a plan. God has a plan for each and every one of you. You know, and know that he's going to be exalted. What does that mean? Exalted. That he's going to be great. He's going to be number one, right? He's going to be. It's going to work out God's way. Not anybody else's way. It's going to work out God's way. And he has a plan for us. We're part of that. Now let's turn to Romans. Romans chapter 2, verse 7. Julia. Romans 2, verse 7, I believe. Yeah, 2, verse 7.
To those who... persistence is doing good, seek glory, honor, and... immortality. He will give eternal life.
So those who are seeking glory are going to receive what? Eternal life. And how do we seek glory? How are we seeking that? Are we following God, right? Sometimes God's timing is not our own. Have you noticed that? Kinda. So next time things get rough, sometimes when things look like they're going to beat us up, we need to remember that he has not forsaken us. He will never forsake us. You know, we need to endure. We need to stand strong and have patience through this trial. And Jesus will, not maybe, but he will help us out. He will get us through it. Even if he has to carry us, he will get us through this. And Tori, can you end us in prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here tonight, and thank you for the lesson.